Welcome to the Chase Down on the Leverage the Chat Network. I'm Justin Rowe with my co-host Carter Rodriguez. It's a bit of a delayed episode because of the holidays and because of your schedule. So I'm going to throw you under the bus, Carter, for all those people that were asking about where the podcast has been.
Listen, you ungrateful jerks. We did two the week before Christmas. So I don't feel that bad, but I am sorry that it was kind of a crazy week.
I like how instead of accepting blame, accepting responsibility, you go after our listeners.
I think that's the best way to maintain a consistent listener base is to shit on them.
Yeah, yeah.
These are Cleveland fans. They are built around pain. They like it. It's built into their DNA at this point.
My God. You are just absolutely the worst, but
here I am.
We might as well get rolling on this. We're going to do a special episode, just as we had the airing of grievances prior to the Christmas game, which let's just do a quick recap of that game. I get it. It was very frustrating. I was annoyed. I was wine drunk watching that. But at the same time, if the game was called properly, would that change how you feel about this matchup in June? Like, yeah. We said going into that game that we need to stop taking so much meaning, and it was frustrating in the moment, but ultimately meaningless. There's still a lot of season to go.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really weird thing because I think before the game I was talking about how I'm still going to care. And then like when we got to the game, I didn't get that worked up. And maybe it's because my fiance was with my family at Christmas for the first time. So I was like had my attention split between making sure she wasn't like trapped in a corner with one of my uncles or something and like talking in some awkward conversation. So I paid attention and I was locked in and I was interested all the way to the end, but like I didn't get too worked up about this one. And I think a lot of it's, I just think I kind of learned my lesson from last year where I got way too worked up and drew some conclusions maybe I shouldn't have. And I think that, you know, it's whatever. I don't think the bad calls sucked, but LeBron doesn't get calls anymore, so I guess we better get used to it. And It was a fun game. It was an ugly game, but it was competitive at least, which was nice.
It was so poorly played. Like I think if it was a well-played game and it was blown on a few calls at the end, that would be frustrating. But that wasn't the reason the Cavs lost. Like, they played absolutely horrible with the exception of, like, Kevin Love.
Yeah, LeBron didn't even play well. Like, it was just a weird energy game. And I think my energy about the game, like, picked up off that. I thought Jay Crowder played really well. I thought that was nice to see.
Oh, that, you know what? Honestly, screw me for forgetting that. Jay Crowder was very, very good. Kevin Durant still got his points. He's still going to go off. We've talked about it before. Like, even if you put Kawhi Leonard on Durant, who is arguably the best perimeter defender in the game, he's still going to drop an efficient 30 a night. But Crowder really made him work, and he made him work in the way that's worked in the past, which is you don't really beat Durant with length. It's always been shorter guys that can kind of get up in his airspace, like Tony Allen, that have had success. So I was really impressed, and that was probably my biggest takeaway. I know some people are saying, oh, look, Kevin Love, like he can be productive against the Warriors. You shouldn't really get that conclusion from that game. You should get that conclusion from the finals. He had a couple bad games in the finals, but still was effective overall. This game, you would expect him to not have any issues because Steph Curry isn't out there to kind of target him in the pick and roll, which has been kind of the biggest issue. He did a great job when Jordan Bell was covering him. And like it was an overall productive game, but we've already seen that he can be effective. The questions on the defensive end will come when Steph is there.
Yeah, I'm at this point where I'm actually kind of pleased with how comfortable the Cavs are against the Warriors. Even if they're not great against them and they have a hard time defensively, like they don't play with the same fear on offense that a lot of teams do. Love was more than content to, you know, go like 7 of 18 or something at one point from the field. Like he's just getting up his shots and he's getting them up very confidently and comfortably. And I'm really not worried about this team's offense long term against the Warriors. And that's
no,
a nice luxury to have because everyone else is.
Yeah, and they're also getting that Isaiah Thomas guy back. I hear he's good. Can we pour one out for Paul George?
Man, hey, don't give up just yet, pal. They just lost to the Bucks at home. It was looking really ugly. And hell, Paul George, the only reason the Thunder are good again is because Russ is just going back to playing the unsustainable style that won't work long term. So
that plus their schedule has been easy. But
so the point is, maybe he's still not having fun. I'm not giving up yet, damn it. And neither should you. They're a 5-game losing streak right before the deadline away from Paul George and Wyatt and Gold. So don't you dare give up.
I'm still putting most of my eggs in the Marc Gasol basket.
Yes, you are.
I'll keep an eye on Paul George, but I think with their recent play, that it has become a little less likely. Although at the same time, he also said that he wouldn't commit to the team long term. He wouldn't commit to whether or not he's going to stay or leave, and that's the right formula for Sam Presti to
panic.
To panic, yeah. So moving into our themed episode, just as we had the airing of grievances, now we're going to do our New Year's resolutions for each and every Cavs player. We're going to skip guys like John Holland, or I don't think that's super necessary.
Their New Year's resolution can be to not fall out of the league.
I think that's fair. We can assign that to him. The first we'll go with, though, is Ante Zizic. I don't know about you, but like, even though he hasn't played a ton, in the minutes he's played, like, you can see the potential for an NBA player there. Like, I think if they were a worse team with a different agenda for the season, he'd get more playing time. I think he stays in position defensively well. He's a big body. I don't know. Like, I hope his resolution is to finish the season well with the Canton charge, because I just don't think there's going to be a lot of opportunity for him.
My resolution for Ante Zizic is for him to, finally reach out to ESPN and have them change his position from power forward to center. What's going on, ESPN.com? Why are you listed as a power forward, Zizic? You're like 7'1". You're enormous. That's ridiculous. That's my resolution for a man I don't care about.
You don't want to spend like 15 minutes of the podcast talking about Zizic?
I was thinking we could move on.
That's fair. So next up, we're going to do this by fewest minutes per game to the most. So LeBron is definitely going to be last. Next up is Jetty Osman, who's actually been getting more minutes recently. He's kind of cracked in the rotation. He didn't play a whole lot against the Kings, which I found frustrating, especially on a night where nobody was playing with intensity other than like Jay Crowder. I'm happy with Osman. Like, I think his resolution should be more of the same. If he continues to knock down open shots, to play with that same intensity, this is basically like the best case scenario of what we could have realistically expected with Osman. Like, he's still a rookie, but at the same time, like, he's shooting almost 48% from the floor, 40% from three. He plays with consistent energy and knows his role on this team, which is basically, I don't know what more you could have wanted from him this year.
That's a really nice answer, Justin. Unfortunately, it is an incorrect one. The correct answer for Chetty Osman's New Year's resolution is to yam one. Can you imagine how much Cavs Twitter is going to lose their mind the first time he gets up there for like a really nice dunk?
Imagine if he had like the RJ on Clay during the
God.
Christmas game.
These transition layups are cool and they're high degree of difficulty and I respect them and they're fun to watch. I want to see him yam one, damn it. And I think everyone else does. We never got to see Kay Felder dunk in an NBA game despite having huge hops. We know Osman's a good athlete. We know he can do this. I got to see it. I just got to, and I don't care. I got to see it. But we should probably move on to our good friend Channing Frye, who's placed in the rotation.
Friend of the podcast.
Friend of the pod. He's not a friend of the pod. We like him. He's like our friend, but we're not his friend.
I think that's a fairly safe assumption.
His place in the rotation has fallen on hard times. Justin, what's your resolution for Channing?
Shoot the three well. He's only at 31.5% for the season. Channing Frye has actually been okay, I think, off the bench. He was great to start the season, but lately it hasn't been as good. He's posting up more, which is a little weird. Obviously, he's not bringing a whole lot defensively, and the defense still kind of has to honor him from the outside. But this is a guy that should be shooting a lot better than he is, given the opportunities he gets. And his resolution should be to shoot the three well once again.
Yeah, I think my resolution for him was kind of in that same vein, which is don't let what makes you special get in, or don't let improving yourself get in the way of what makes you special. Like, Fry has been a lot better from inside the arc this year. He's shooting 50% from the field, which is like really admirable. And he's developed that little mini drive and kick game, or, you know, drive at a closeout game. And he's kind of hitting these little dump off layups now and then. But still, I want more than 50% of his shot attempts to be threes. And I know that's kind of a tall ask, but also he's really good at them. And I know that the 3-point jumper hasn't really been there. Maybe that's a byproduct of rhythm. He's not getting as many minutes as he's used to, and he's not getting as many attempts up. So maybe bumping those attempts up, being a little more shameless from three, is the trick.
Yeah, that I definitely think he is a rhythm shooter, and I think that he's one of those guys that as the volume increases, so will his percentage. Even though it is a tall ask for someone to have over half their attempts come from behind the arc, that's essentially what Kyle Korver does. Not as much now that his minutes are up and he's just...
Actually, like, he's now 5.5 threes a game, 7.2 field goals a game. So well over 50% for Korver.
Well over 50%. There you go. So yeah, be like Kyle Korver, only almost 7 feet tall.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I love that he's really... I think it's very clear he's put in work on the interior of his game. Because, I mean, I know you mentioned the post-ups, but really a lot of his buckets are coming on these weird kind of half drives, like these Boris Diaw-esque drives where he kind of just gets the guy on his hip and then, like, gently lays it up.
Does he miss having RJ around to, like, tell him what to do?
Maybe. I don't know. I think he's been good this year, and that's why I'm kind of sad for him that he's kind of falling out of the rotation, but I think when he's in there, he really does have to be that specialist and only use the parts he's developed this offseason, even though those are appreciated and good, you know, kind of a break glass in case of emergency option.
Mm-hmm. So the next one on our list, this is the problematic one. This is the one that makes up about half of my mentions on Twitter. Tristan Thompson. Are you just going to shit on his girlfriend, or what are we doing here?
My resolution for Tristan Thompson, I was going to do a bit where I like full-throated suggested he develop a 3-point shot, but I got too excited about it. Because I needed to be deadly serious the whole time. I just think Tristan Thompson needs to listen to his resolution should be listen to his body. I think this is a guy that has maybe done real damage to his career by trying to play through injury when he doesn't need to. And, you know, I think the Iron Man streak was, you know, very laudable and respectable. And I love that, you know, the desire to get out there and play. But you're a young guy and you've got knee issues that have plagued you for about a full year at this point. And I'm not quite ready to write off Tristan Thompson. I know a lot of people are. I think that it takes a long time to come back from a calf injury, and the knee's been a problem, and he's probably going through a bit of a dip in confidence right now. But I still think it just doesn't seem like the kind of injury that should just derail a whole career. And that's kind of the way people are talking about him right now, is like, yeah, he's ruined. It's like, well, maybe just let's give it a year. Like, let's chill for a minute, and let's actually give this some time. I do think it's concerning. I do think he played pretty poorly against the Warriors. But I do think that people are kind of conflating the Cavs' recent, like, mediocre stretch of play with Tristan's return. And I just don't think he's really playing enough minutes to be that important to be doing that.
No, and even like, when you look at the plus-minus numbers, like, that's just not the case.
He's been fine. He's been fine. Like, I don't think he's been good, but I don't think he's been bad either.
He's had good games and bad games. The last two have been bad. He's bad against the Warriors. He's bad against the Kings. He got beat down the floor. I don't know if you can hear this clank, but that is me putting down my pulpit here. I'm going to sermonize for a moment.
For a second, I thought you were going to say you were putting your dick on the table.
I'm putting my... I have put my dick on the mic here. Let's do this. No, like, I'm a little frustrated. One, I'm sad. Like, that's kind of my takeaway from this. Because Tristan Thompson, as we know, he played through injuries from February on last year. He wasn't healthy to start this season, tried playing through it, did more damage. They haven't really disclosed exactly what the issue was, which has kind of been what he's insinuated. And if he just can't get healthy and can't get right, I think that would be really disappointing. Because this is a guy that had consistently played hard almost every single minute back when this team was crap and through this team's first championship. He was probably the third most important player when they won that final series. And, like, for, like, the narrative has kind of shifted. That, like, there's some people that are like, oh, he might be done. The injuries, he just doesn't have the same athleticism, he doesn't have the same pop, he can't seem to get healthy. And I think those are valid concerns, and that's something the Cavs are going to have to monitor, because if he can't get right by the deadline, I don't know if you can replace what he does, because I don't think there's a lot of centers that can switch on to point guards and stuff like that and move out on the perimeter. The way that they might have to go is just all in on Love at center and find a defensive improvement at shooting guard. Because if you can't get a center that does that, you're going to have to rely on a kind of three-pronged attack of LeBron, Crowder, and a two-way shooting guard, seen as JR just isn't doing that this year. But I think there's another group of people that are insinuating that this is who Tristan has always been. The contract is a disaster, and it was a disaster from the beginning. I've had people say that it's a mark on David Griffin's career and like a blemish on his time with the Cavs, which, I mean, if you're going to talk about a contract that hasn't worked out so far, unfortunately, it's been JR. Since JR signed it, he hasn't played well. Tristan, at least, you got a couple good years out of that. And as I said, he was the third most important player in that finals series. So I just think that it shouldn't necessarily affect his legacy if he can't get healthy, if he can't contribute moving forward. I think that's disappointing, but I don't think it should be something that's held against him. It's not like he stopped working. I know people like to point at the Kardashian thing, but this is still a guy with a great work ethic. People I've talked about that know him and are connected to him through Team Canada and stuff like that, there's so many good things that they say about him, and they have never questioned his work ethic and his desire to win. This is more of a sad situation than something to get angry at a player that you don't know.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think the talks of trading Tristan need to cool it until anyone figures out what his value is, because if he sucks so bad that you have to trade him, that probably means he's a negative asset, which means you're not getting an all-star back more often than not. So I don't know. I just think the Tristan thing, like, I just still think the most prudent thing with Tristan is patience, and not the kind of patience where you're like, I gave it 5 games. I'm talking like maybe more than a season's worth of patience. And that doesn't feel good, especially on a team with as limited of a timeline as the Cavs have right now. And I'm not saying if Marc Gasol is there, don't get him because you're waiting on Tristan. I'm saying,
no, if there's an improvement available, they should pursue that. They should go with moves that we know are going to work if they're available.
Yes, but don't make a move just to make a move, because you're selling low. And I think that you have to be smart about this. And even though it's not an organization that's operating on a long-term timeline with Tristan specifically, I think you have to operate on one. But we should probably keep moving from kind of a bummer to kind of a pleasant surprise. Our good friend Jose Calderon, whose signing we lauded all summer.
Yeah.
we just loved it.
It me, the biggest Calderon stan on the planet.
That's us.
Although I will say this, as I was very angry over the process more than the actual signing. Like, signing him on day two is still profoundly stupid. It just didn't make a lot of sense at the time. But Calderon has played really well. Before the season, I did write that they should consider starting him and keeping Rose in the bench role. And now I would advocate keeping Rose always on the bench role, even if he does get healthy. But yeah, Calderon has done exactly what we would hope in the best case scenario for Calderon.
Yeah.
He's not a great defender, but he plays team defense. He doesn't turn the ball over. He hits open shots. He's kind of settled into like that Deli role, just without overrated defense.
Do you have a resolution for him?
That's right. We're doing resolutions. Yeah, I got wrapped up with sermonizing. My resolution for Calderon is to throw up the 3-point hands more. He used to do that all the time in Toronto, and I want to see more showboating out of Calderon. I want him to really rub it in teams' faces, because I feel like he's someone that's going to get under your skin if he's doing anything other than like just keeping his head down and doing the job. He's mouthy. He's always getting in. He's always complaining to refs and stuff like that. I want more showboating out of Calderon, because he's one of the only guards outside of Korver that's hitting threes.
My resolution for Calderon is to make sure you stay above Derrick Rose on the depth chart. Like, I don't want to see Derrick Rose in there pressed into duty if Wade gets hurt or if Isaiah Thomas gets hurt again. I really am ready just to see Calderon. That should be his resolution, is to continue. I mean, I think he's very much earned it at this point, but to stay ahead of those guys in the depth chart. But I will say I am pretty ready to not see Calderon in the rotation anymore. Like, I understand and appreciate that he is maximizing what he can do, but there is just like he's just like the opposite of dynamic. Like, he's just so safe, and like I felt like you really felt a lack of a secondary dynamic playmaker against the Warriors on Christmas. And, you know, Calderon is just not going to mess up, and like, not messing up isn't good enough to beat the Warriors.
And I think
not that anyone's like holding him to that standard. That's not fair. But like, I'm just like ready to see what a more dynamic point guard will do with this particular team.
It would have been Calderon's Christmas gift was Steph Curry rolling his ankles.
Oh, man. Thank God.
That could have got ugly in a hurry. And yeah, I think he should stay above Rose in the depth chart. But when Isaiah Thomas comes back, the point guard rotation is going to be IT, D. Wade. And like, Calderon will be a break glass in case of emergency type guy, or
which is what he was supposed to be anyway.
Right. And then Derrick Rose will be a broken glass type guy.
Jeez. Let's move up to Shump, who has only played in 13 games this year, dealing with an injury. Thought he played okay this year.
His resolution should be to find a new home.
Yeah, his resolution should be to find the best nationally based realtor in the country, because I think the chances of this guy finishing the season on the team are so low. Whether
he's on the roster to be a salary match guy,
yeah, like when
a trade,
even though he's been pretty good this year, which is kind of unfortunate for him. Like, I feel like he's mostly cut out the BS. I thought he did a nice job in spot starts at point guard, but yeah, I mean, it's just kind of what it is at this point. That's not who he is for this team, and this team's kind of outgrown their need of him. And yeah, I think getting a realtor is a really good resolution for him.
Yeah, Jay Crowder has kind of taken his role as the defensive wing that is a very, very, very streaky shooter.
Yeah, no kidding. So do you even need one for Shump, or should we move on to Jeff Green?
I already gave mine for Shump, man.
I
said, find a new home.
Find a new home. Okay, sorry. Sorry.
Enjoy Memphis.
I'm a bad listener.
You are.
So let's move up to Jeff Green, one of the more pleasant surprises of the season. Still averaging 10 points a game. I think he went a little retro Jeff Green against the Warriors, but I think that was more a byproduct of the Cavs' lack of rhythm than Jeff Green, like, reverting to old bad habits. Like, everyone's like, oh, see, that's what you get. And it's like, no, like, that's like...
Don't you love one game sample sizes?
And like someone was going to be taking some bullshit shots at the end of shot clocks against the Warriors because the Cavs weren't moving the ball or getting open. Like that's just what's going to happen is you're going to have to rely on Jeff Green to do some bullshit every now and again if that's the way you're going to play. And that's why
also
Jeff Green's
we've never seen players struggle and play sloppy basketball on a noon start time.
Yeah, never. People didn't talk about that enough. Like, a noon start time on the West Coast is, like, just messy enough. Anyway, for Jeff Green, I think my New Year's resolution for him is going to be no more off the dribble threes, even in garbage time. They've never gone in.
I'm mad that you stole mine because I was going to say no shots off the dribble in general. Like, it should be a spot-up three if he's going to take a three, or it should be him cutting for a dunk. Like, those should be his only attempts. And I think that's close to what he's doing, and he's shooting nearly 50% on the year. But, yeah, I don't know if he's even made a three off the dribble. And, yeah, if he can continue to stay in his lane, shout out to the great LeVar Ball, I think he's going to continue to be productive.
You know, it's interesting, like, with him, it's like the Cavs have like cooked away almost all the fat of his bullshit games. By the way, Green's shooting 38% on catch and shoot threes this year.
A few off the dribble threes.
What do you think he's shooting on pull up threes?
On pull ups,
yeah.
I'm gonna guess 15%.
9%.
9%. Okay, that's right.
It actually, he only takes 0.3 a game, and on NBA.com, he's made so few that it just says he makes zero pull-up threes a game, even though he technically makes 9.1% of them.
And how many off the dribble has he made?
That's pull-up, right?
Oh. Well, I thought that was also like, well, yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah, so it's literally like catch and shoot. He's not great, but he's okay. Pull-ups, no, never, please don't. But, yeah, it's the Cavs have, like, they've cut most of the fat out of Jeff Green's game at this point, except the pull-up threes at kind of inopportune times when he's feeling himself. And, like, that's fine. Like, you got to let a guy be himself, especially, like, on a Cavs team. Like, it's the regular season, margin for error. But if I'm Jeff Green, that's the pull-up shots, I think, can be our mutual resolution. Cut them out, Jeff. You don't need them.
What's up, Chase Down listeners? Did you know that your chances of winning on Draft are 80% better than on salary cap sites? That's why Draft is my favorite fantasy site. No more getting crushed by the pros. And it's not just me. More than 1 million people have already downloaded Draft. Play in a real live NBA Draft right now and be done in under 5 minutes. It goes really quick. You can customize how many players you're playing against, as well as what the stakes are. Drafts are filling every second, so you can join one whenever you want. All new players get a free entry into Real Money Draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use our promo code, THECHASEDOWN. That's right, play in a Real Money Draft for free just by using promo code, THECHASEDOWN. But it gets even better. Draft is so sure you'll love it that they're even giving a money-back guarantee to Chasedown listeners of up to $100. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play for free right now with promo code, THECHASEDOWN. There's another player that we'll get to that I don't want to see another pull-up shot from three ever again. But we'll get to him shortly. Next up, we got Kyle Korver, which, like, I don't know. What do you...
I got a good one for Kyle. Don't be so hard on yourself, man.
I'll let you go again.
Yeah, resolution for Kyle. Don't be so hard on yourself. If he misses an open three, he's just like, you watch him like running down the court, just cursing himself out. And like, he's like, God damn it, Kyle. And it's like, dude, it's okay. You're better at this than everyone else. We forgive you.
Like, no, I kind of like that. I want that to continue.
I just want him to be happy. Don't be such a maniac. Well, of course, I think you can't have him not be such a maniac because that's the only reason he's still in the league. So, yeah, Kyle's been awesome. I have very little stuff for him to work on or change about himself.
Yeah, it's I don't know. Like, more than anyone on this team, I don't think that there's, yeah, I don't think there's a player that's done exactly what you would hope to a greater extent than Kyle Korver. Like, I don't know what valid complaint you could even have about him.
Yeah, I don't know. The defense has been better with him on the floor. The offense,
he tries on defense. Like, he's not great in space or anything like that.
But he knows where to go, and he has longer arms than people think, so he gets little deflections every now and again. And yeah, I don't know. Like, I just think he's been really good. And I guess the only resolution I have is to not change a single thing and have a better finals. That's a good resolution. Yeah,
that's the resolution. We just stumbled right into it. Play better against the Warriors.
Yeah, because he was, I mean, I think in a lot of ways, Korver's poor play swung that series. And, you know, not saying it's his fault, but like a lot of those games like are very different if he's the flamethrower we know and love.
They would have got at least one more win if he hit open shots.
I agree.
If the team hit open shots, goddamn. Anyways, moving on to a guy that should never take a pull-up shot again, and that is my resolution for him. Dwayne Wade has been so good since coming off the bench, but lately he's been feeling himself a little bit. there was a moment in the Kings game where I was going to accuse him of taking a pull-up three with 20 seconds left on the shot clock. But apparently he had a foot on the line, so it didn't count as a three. So making it even more infuriating.
Yes, it's worse. It's the worst. Yes. That's the worst exculpatory evidence ever produced.
Dwayne Wade has been a nice, pleasant surprise. He's done a lot of what we've hoped. He's been a great backup point guard and has really embraced that role. But just like Jeff Green, it's like, understand that you have your limitations as a player, and my God, is that a funny sentence to think when you're comparing a top 3-4 shooting guard in the history of the league to Jeff Green. But just stay in your lane, do what you do best, attack the basket and create shots for others.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's actually a really good resolution for Dwayne, is to like, I think you're spot on in saying this, like, feeling himself just a little bit too much. And in ways that are not necessarily productive. I think he's taken a few too many threes. The mid-rangers are just a little higher than I want to see. The true shooting percentage is going up, though, because he's shooting a slightly better percent from three. But I don't know. I just think he needs to chill a little bit and focus more on being that distributor. And he kind of talked about the ball movement kind of sticking on the bench units. And I think in a lot of ways, he's kind of to blame for that in the last like week or so. Is when Wade sets the tone for those lineups. And I would, even if he's feeling okay, I just think they're better served by him overpassing rather than underpassing.
Right. Yeah. He has to be the one that shoulders the responsibility and the blame.
Oh, I actually have a different one, though. I'm not sharing this one. Sorry, but it just popped.
You're not sharing this one?
No, this one. Get back on defense, Dwayne.
That's great. God okay, damn I was going to say, yeah, don't share it, because podcasts don't need opinions or you talking for them to be successful. Keep that to yourself. Keep your opinions and takes for the rest of the podcast to yourself. That's what we need to be successful.
All right, so Wade's got to get back on defense. I'm just moving past that. Yeah, Wade's got to get back. There was a pretty crucial play on Christmas where, in a very close game, mind you, where Dwayne was feeling himself a little too much after a made three. He gets Sean Livingston to bite on a pump fake, drives in, then steps back for a step back three anyway, fade away, airballs it, just saunters back watching his own brutal miss while Sean Livingston leaks out for a really easy dunk. Like, just not even a cherry pick. It was just like Livingston didn't even have to run hard. He just jogged. And it's like, I know that the Cavs transition defense is not good ever or with Wade on the floor. And I'm sorry. And when we get to the playoffs, that can't happen. I'm sorry. It just can't happen. You have to get back. You can't complain about calls. You have to get back. So he's never going to, but that's my New Year's resolution for Dwayne. And I'm sorry that we were so hard on you this time, Dwayne, because you've actually been mostly a joy to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, but we're negative dicks. That's the way we roll.
That's our brand.
Next up, speaking of being a negative dick, Jay Crowder has... He's kind of silenced a lot of my criticism. He's played really well lately. He plays inspired defense. He's making a difference on that end, which it was frustrating early in the year when he wasn't even doing that. Because the three-point shot still isn't there. He still isn't shooting it well. He still fires it off the side of the backboard from time to time. And, like, it's weird because, like, his base is awful on a lot of shots. Like, he scissors, it kicks his legs and stuff
really
like that.
Weird.
It really, really doesn't look good. Especially for a guy that, like, he's massive. Like, he is jacked. He should not need to be, like, leaning his full body into shots to get it to the rim from beyond the arc.
Yeah, it's disappointing, the jumper. Is that your resolution, that he to have some damn balance on your jumpers?
That would be nice. I don't think that's as important as him keeping up what he's done for the last 3 weeks defensively. Like, I think there's enough shooting on this team, especially if JR can get going again and if we keep Love at center. All they need from him is to be that consistent defensive force, because LeBron isn't going to play defense in the regular season, and he's better off at this point of his career being a help defender anyways. If JR can, or if Crowder can be that legitimate stopper on the perimeter and continue this, because we've only seen it for a couple weeks here, but if he can continue that, I'm going to be very happy with his presence on this roster. The shooting will come and go. I can live with the streaky shots as long as he's taking good shots and isn't taking shots off the dribble or anything stupid like that. I can live with his offense coming and going as long as he does the hustle plays and plays defense.
Yeah, I think my resolution for Crowder is don't try to finish stuff you're not comfortable finishing. He doesn't do a great job finishing around the rim in crowds. He's a nice cutter and can exploit like empty space well, but when, you know, there were a couple times where he came down with like boards against the Warriors, and like he doesn't put it up with any touch. Like the more crowded it is, the more, you know, roughshod the release is on the layup. And I think he just needs to pick his spots a little bit better. Like, he doesn't have to be like straight up Tristan Thompson, where he like there was just a stretch where Thompson's like, nope, not trying to put this back up. Nope. But I do
kick
think
that right back out.
Yep. I think he needs to be a little more selective in those spots. And I know that's a pretty nitpicky detail, and I've been much more pleased with his effort and just general comfort level over the last month, even if the numbers don't necessarily bear it out from a pure efficiency perspective.
And even if Chops won't acknowledge us complimenting him.
No, Chops is just going to like put on some like loud background music during this mostly pretty nice segment about Crowder. But yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at in terms of Crowder. I think being a little more selective with where he tries to finish would go a long way.
I think that's fair. The next on this list, which is hilarious when we're going by minutes per game, that he is as high up as he is, because I truly hope he never plays another minute for the Cavaliers. Derrick Rose, that should be his resolution. Get a buyout, find a new home, maybe even with Shumpert. That could be fun. They can take bad shots together in Memphis.
My resolution for Derrick is to become the best Adidas brand ambassador you can be in China.
How funny is that commercial?
Amazing. It's
all the Adidas athletes sitting at a table together talking about how they're going to change the game. Derek starts talking and they cut him off.
And they're like, yeah, I'm sorry. We don't want any water. We're good.
Derek, they think he's we know that the only reason you haven't retired is to keep this Adidas money going. So
do you think
you're
they
in the
felt
commercial,
good about
that,
that
should be enough.
Do you think the Adidas corporate felt good about that?
Having him in there him not retiring?
Nah, having him in that commercial. Because it's just hilarious.
Why did they not have Kanye?
You know Kanye is not going to that shoot.
Kanye should have been head of the table.
That would have been sweet. But, I mean, like, Derek, you think he was like, Derek's coming? I'm out. I don't associate with past glory.
I'm sure a lot of those people were like green screened in and they weren't actually all sitting together. But I guarantee you Derrick Rose was definitely green screen. Like if they have a few people in there, they're probably like, not gonna sit around Derrick Rose. I saw what he can do to LeBron and his production. I'm not letting him impact my game.
Isn't it
in a
weird
different
that,
sport?
Isn't it weird that there's a pretty significant non-zero, like there's a genuine chance that Tristan Thompson and Kanye West will be brother-in-laws?
My God.
How weird is that?
I love the NBA. It's so profoundly stupid.
Why would that ever be a thing? That's ridiculous.
The Canadian from Brampton, Ontario, marrying a Kardashian and becoming relatives with Kanye West. Yep. That's the dream, really.
What a time to be alive.
He's already accomplished more than Andrew Wiggins ever will.
You're damn right he will. We should move on to one of our pleasant surprises, Kevin Love, who has been comfortably the Cavs' second best player and, in my opinion, a no doubt All Star this year.
Pleasant surprise for you because you're a hater that didn't believe. You didn't believe that they could change how they get Love his looks.
And they have. The move, I think what it was is, so first off, you're a bullshitter because you thought they would change because of Isaiah. And they've changed because they moved Love to center and he can actually do the stuff he used to do in Minnesota.
I didn't think it was going to change because of Isaiah. I thought it was going to change because they had depth and Lou was going to have to change how they work on offense. Because in the past, they had the ultimate security blanket. They had two of the best isolation scorers on the planet in LeBron and Kyrie. And I think Isaiah is a factor because Isaiah can't do... You can't just throw Isaiah the ball with a set defense and expect him to produce the same level he did last year. They needed to install new sets, have a ball movement culture kind of set up there, and that's why guys like Jeff Green and Chetty Osman are playing well, because they move well off ball, and Kevin Love is getting a lot of easy looks off cuts. He's catching the ball on the move, and that's helping him get to the free throw line as well. And
the move to center is what enabled Love to play this way more than the roster construction.
I don't necessarily agree, especially because he isn't being defended by centers. I think it has some impact, obviously, because even though he's not being defended by centers, there's still like there's a center on Jay Crowder, so that's going to pull them a little bit more out of the paint than they would traditionally. But I think these were sets and looks that he could have gotten years past. But they just didn't have the personnel to really implement this type of offense. I think he's averaging fewer touches per game than he did last season, and he's producing even more.
Great. It's awesome.
This is something that could have been done in the past, and I've been someone that has said maximizing Love doesn't necessarily maximize the team, and I was comfortable with the offense that they ran. But this isn't even maximizing Love. This is just finding ways to trim the fat off of his game. There aren't possessions where they just dump the ball in the post or dump the ball to Love and say, well, I hope he makes something happen. Every time he touches the ball has a purpose, and that's why he's producing even more than last season in fewer minutes on fewer touches.
I mean, I agree in a lot of ways. And I do wonder what happens if his three-point percentage normalizes down to its typical like 38% from the 42 he's at right now.
I think he's still super effective, though.
But yeah, I think a lot of it's, you know, he's averaging 14 shot attempts a game and only in 5.7 threes. That's not the same ratio he's been at in the past. He's getting to the line at a pretty solid rate. He's been really good in the post. It's been really encouraging to see offensively from Love. And
for me, my resolution for Love is to play defense more like he did last season. He hasn't been necessarily as bad. Like, this is probably his second best season defensively as a Cavalier. But last year, like, he was a legitimate plus defender in almost all matchups. Obviously, there's going to be situations where that isn't the case. There's going to be teams where he can't be that, and being at center limits that as well. But there have been times where there just isn't defensive effort from him, and I think that's kind of a requirement when he is supposed to be anchoring the defense a little more than he has in the past without Tristan Thompson in the starting lineup.
Yeah, I think my resolution for Kevin is connect on some more outlets to LeBron. I think we've had a shortage of those this year.
Yeah, not enough touchdown passes. That'd be nice.
Not enough. I want more. Those bring me too much joy, and I think he's undercut him a couple times, like a little undershot him. And we just got to get that recalibrated, and that's my primary complaint for Love this year, which is a good thing.
Yeah, it's hard to have too many complaints about Kevin Love. This next guy, we do have some complaints. We have some grievances for J.R. Smith.
Some little leftover Festivus.
My resolution for J.R. Smith is to not be passive. What the hell is going on with J.R. Smith? Like, I understand going through cold shooting streaks, but he is legitimately scared to shoot the ball at times. And he got going against the Kings. That was one of the better games we've seen from him. He was bad in the first half and was kind of gunning in the second half. And it was just a reminder of, oh yeah, J.R. Smith should be doing that all the time. Like, taking those shots. I don't even care about the result. He should be playing fewer minutes. He shouldn't be playing the second most minutes on the team. That's one thing. Maybe he'd be more effective closer down to like 25 or 26 minutes, and I think that's going to change when Isaiah Thomas gets back. But in the minutes that he's on the court, just shoot, man. When in doubt, shoot the ball. J.R. Smith.
Yeah, I was looking at the numbers, and he's taking 6.2 threes per 36 minutes, and that's the fifth lowest of his career. Last year, he averaged 8.2 threes per 36. The year before, 7.8. It's just, there's no reason to be this passive with the ball. I think a lot of it's like Tyronn Lue has to get into his ear, because he's all these weird quotes about like, hey, I'm not a scorer for this team anymore. I'm a playmaker. And it's like, no, you're fucking not, dude. Like, you need to be, if you're open, pull. Like, that's part of what makes the Cavs so dangerous. And if you are open.
That's also part of why he struggled with the Knicks. Like, he was in that Dwayne Wade backup point guard role. And why he was so successful when he came over was they simplified his role. It was like, if you touch the ball, shoot. And that's what they need from him.
I agree. I mean, he's had some nice passes this year, and those are respectable. But, like, he just doesn't need to be that. He needs to be a play finisher, not a play creator. And I do think, in a lot of ways, that's going to help. That's where Isaiah is going to help, where he's not going to be that release valve to attack a closeout as much as just a guy who can pull. But I want to see that three-point rate go up again, because it's worth noting, after a pretty disastrous shooting start to the year again, he's up to 36% from three, and he's been shooting, I think, somewhere in the 40 range in the last 10 games or so. So he's been getting better from three in terms of his percentages. I just think he needs to get those shots up. So, yeah, shoot it, man. That's my resolution as well. I think the defense is always going to be spotty. I thought he was really good in the finals last year, so I'm not that worried about him as compared to other people. But, man, shoot. That's your brand.
I can't believe that's where we are with J.R. Smith. I guess we might as well wrap this up with the last one on our list. And my resolution for LeBron James is win another MVP. Houston's sliding. The Cavs are also sliding, but whatever. I'm going to craft my narrative however I want to craft it. I think this is LeBron's chance to win another MVP, and he can do that by finishing the season strong, because I think a lot of people in the media seem to want to give it to him last year, but with how the Cavs finished and how he finished, as well as the ridiculous play of Russell Westbrook, that like it just didn't come to fruition. And I think if he continues these numbers, and if they continue winning at this pace and actually finish our regular season strong, I think that he's going to be in really, really good position to win another MVP.
Yeah. I don't really have one for LeBron. I just don't. I think, first off, this dude's better at motivating himself than anyone. So, like, no, there's no one who's like, New Year's resolutions are more wasted on than LeBron.
Carter, we're whiny bloggers and podcasters. Are you saying that we aren't the people that should be telling LeBron how to live his life?
I can confirm that we are not. But, you know, I guess if anything, it's... I don't got anything, man. He's been so good. And I think a lot, maybe to some extent, like, allow Isaiah Thomas to find his rhythm. I think LeBron's pretty uncompromising on offense, and kind of it's his way or the highway. But when you only have a half season to integrate someone, you have to like cede a little control, which is not his strength, and maybe help get Isaiah going. But I don't know. That's pretty nitpicky. He's been so good. I do think you're right. I think an MVP is within reach for him. I don't get the people who are just like, yeah, it's Harden. Like, I'm not like a LeBron, like, needs to win the MVP stand. Like, I don't care that much about it, but, like, I don't get how you can, like, see LeBron's number as, like, the best of his career and just be like, no, it's definitely Harden. It's like, is it?
Like, it's a two-man race. It's a two-man race 100%. Right now. Harden's kind of breaking down physically. LeBron is the younger, more spry guy at 33 years old now. So maybe he has that going for him, but... Man, he's just ridiculous. I'm going to close this podcast off with a challenge to our listeners. We've spent the last 50 minutes telling people how to live their lives and what their resolution should be. Tag the Chase Down on Twitter. Let us know what our resolution should be. Let us know how we can be better in the new year. Let us know what we should do. Is it less awkward closes to podcasts? Maybe. Maybe that's the way you want to go. So tell us why we're trash. Tell us how we can be better. I think that's the proper way to close this out. Carter, do you have anything to add?
No, I guess now that we're to get serious at the end of the at the end of 2017, it was a really good first year for the pod. First calendar year for the pod. We've had a lot of fun doing this. We joined the Leverage the Chat Network, which has been a joy and been really fun to be a part of. And
Shout out to Jade. Yeah, shout out to Jade. Keep doing what you're doing, man. Like, goddamn, the number of podcasts and quality podcasts. Like, I'm being a company man right now, but like I just love listening to them all, and the rate that he cranks them out and produces them, it's remarkable.
Yeah, it obviously huge up to Jade. And just thanks for listening. We really, Justin and I, like, when we were planning this podcast, we were we're probably going to be shouting into the void for like 6 months before anyone listens. And and people are listening, and people are responding, and cracking jokes about stuff that we say like 45 minutes into the pod, which means you actually are listening. You're not just subscribing to be supportive and nice and then moving on. You guys listen. And, that's such an honor for you guys to take an hour out of your day once a week to listen to us dick around. So I appreciate everyone, and sorry to make it sappy, but I thought it needed to be said.
Oh, we're fully pulling back the feels curtain right now. And I echo all those sentiments. It really is very, very, very much appreciated. And all your compliments, all the nice feedback that you get, it's it's heard and it's taken to heart. So thanks to all our listeners. If you're new to the podcast, I urge you to subscribe, leave a rating, leave a review. It's the best way to support us, but we definitely feel very supported and we're fortunate for that. So to all our listeners, all the best in the new year. I hope you find your own resolutions and achieve them. Don't set it too high. Keep it realistic and just build on being better every day, just as I continue to become more trash every single day. So thanks to all our listeners, and we'll see you in the new year.